Tested live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
But for tonight, we're talking about the Midas touch, specifically not on the gold price only, but also what it means for the creative economy. If we take a look at the world of influencing and, of course, content creators, it's been a sector that has grown significantly, especially over the last decade with the introduction of various social media platforms. When it comes to TikTok specifically, especially from a South African point of view, I think many of us got a lot more familiar with it during the 2020 pandemic, where we were sitting at home, experiencing dance challenges, maybe even baking banana bread. But since then, it's turned out to be a formidable platform globally, where it's been able to disseminate significant information and, of course, even reward, acknowledge and partner with the content creators in order to curate various sets of information. Someone who knows all about this is the head of content operations for Sub-Saharan Africa at TikTok, Boniswa Sidwaba, who joins us tonight. Such a pleasure to have you with us, ma'am.
Thank you so much. Lovely to be here. Thank you for having me, Guguletu.
Yes, ma'am. Excited to speak to you because in my mind, you know, I think for anyone who thinks about their first introduction to TikTok, you know, we think about the dance challenges. We think of the, hey, guys. But the truth is, it's really transformed, I guess, as a social media platform in South Africa and across the globe, creating employment for individuals, disseminating information and content, and also just being a powerful tool for engagement. Maybe let's unpack the evolution of TikTok since its entry into South Africa.
Yes, you described the evolution. You're spot on with that description. So it did start out with, I think, people largely coming to the platform to, you know, participate in the latest trends or maybe jump onto some of the popular sounds. So I don't know if you recall Hot Like a Heater.
Yes.
yes. But then we've also seen the type of content that creators on the platform create evolve. So I think we started seeing creators start thinking about how they can help their community. And categories that became quite popular within that kind of like, how do I create content that's helpful is food, for example. That's a very big category on the platform. So, you know, people sharing recipes, and then DIY hacks as well, especially when load shedding was quite present. We would see quite a few hacks coming up. And then I think fast forward to us positioning ourselves as an entertainment platform and not a social media platform. So we don't see ourselves as a social media platform. Mm-hmm. We see ourselves as a video entertainment platform because people come to TikTok to watch, not to follow or to catch up on what their friends are doing. Okay. They actually come to go onto that FYP and see, you know, what their personal FYP is serving them. And so that is why we're starting to see hashtags such as what to watch become really popular. So what creators are doing there is they're sharing movie recommendations. BookTok is another really popular hashtag and what I would call useful hashtag, because it's basically giving people on the platform recommendations for books that they can read. And now more recently, we launched the STEM feed, which is specifically dedicated to creators that are creating content around science, engineering, mathematics. That's really the evolution. And I think what we're also seeing is there are various communities that come to TikTok because they know that there's a place for them. And that speaks to the different types of contents that are available on the platform. So there's definitely been a big shift. Yes. What I will say, though, is music and dance is still a very key part of the platform. That is how our sounds are traveling globally and becoming viral. Tyla is a very good example of how that happened on the platform. We worked with her way before Water. We worked with her actually on a track called Getting Late. She was already on the platform. Water was really kind of like the ultimate kind of like situation. So that's the evolution in a nutshell.
100%. I find this so intriguing. I'm actually on TikTok now and flipping through my FYP. It's everything from dance trends to economic insights to praise and worship to jokes. So I think that tells you about my algorithm, mixed and various views. But maybe let's deep dive into that, right? Many consumers actually do want to know, you know, how is it that you collate structure? How does the algorithm work in the background to figure out what Boniswa prefers versus Gugu versus a Sinenjabulo?
Yeah, it's complicated, but it's also quite simple, actually. So as you're on your FYP now, if, say, for instance, if a skit comes up and it's a comedy skit and you spend a significant amount of time on that, you share that video, you like it, you comment on that video, the algorithm learns that you enjoy that video. And so it might then suggest another video within the same kind of category. If your behavior to that video is the same, it will keep feeding you the same content. So what the algorithm does is it learns your behaviors and then it serves you content according to your behaviors. This is why it's proven that you can go to someone else's TikTok, you can ask them to show you their FYP. I can guarantee you it's going to be very different. There will be instances where, of course, you do see the kind of like popular trends appearing as well. But in most cases, it's really like for you as you know, that is why it's called the For You feed, because it's literally created and catered for you, to you, because of your behavior. So how are you liking? How are you sharing? How long are you watching?
Got you. And I start there because ultimately I get a huge significant mix of the content, as I've just described. And that also speaks to having reach and touching base with various content creators, as you've mentioned, some who focus on food, some who focus on dance, some who focus on politics, and others who, I guess, are just celebrities with a high following because of the trends that they actively participate in. Let's talk about your partnership with content creators, because over the years that has certainly evolved. It's even manifested and grown into the acknowledgement of these content creators through various awards that you have. So talk to us about this partnership. How do you establish it? How do you develop it? How has it evolved? And how do you continue to acknowledge it now?
Okay. So our mission is to inspire creativity and spread joy. That's our North Star. That's what we come to work every day to do, is we want to inspire creativity and we want to spread joy. Now, we understand that creators come to the platform and they inspire creativity and they spread joy. You come to the platform because you're coming to see them. And so we understand that they're a key part of what makes the platform. So in order for us to see creators grow, we need to invest in educating them. We need to invest in making sure that they understand what the latest product features are. Mm-hmm. And ways in which we're doing that takes shape in different ways. So for example, we have masterclasses, we have a program called Level Up Africa, which is specifically dedicated to identifying a group of emerging creators who we then commit to working with to build them up until they become top creators. And that's really what we're trying to do. We're trying to identify creators that show promise, uh-huh. work with them, educate them, give them tips on their content strategy, give them tips about hashtags that are working on the platform, give them tips about campaigns that we're going to be running. We invite them to our own campaigns as well, and we work with them. So holistically, that's the program. And then within that program, we engage with them in different ways. So you spoke to some of the events that we host. So I would say there are two popular events we host. So one is called a Level Up Creator Day. It's an education day where we invite creators. We hear from them. We get their feedback. What are their challenges on the platform? How can we improve the platform? And we share latest product updates with them. And then we, of course, have the TikTok Awards. So the TikTok Awards under that IP were launched in February, but we've done it for 3 years before. And it was called Top Creator, actually 2 years. So we've been recognizing creators since 2022.
Got you. I'm glad you touched on that, because I'm hoping this is where we can peel back at the various layers that do come up. As you mentioned, there are various funds and the Level Up Academy that you also run. There's also the TikTok Creator Fund, right? And I understand that there's been some concern around the lack of availability of funds that you're able to disperse and share with the creators. So maybe help us unpack the role and structure of the fund, but also how this also unlocks other opportunities for creators to actually monetize their content. Because a lot of us get confused as to how are they making a living using the platform?
Yes. So I would like to first begin by explaining what our monetization suite looks like. So our monetization suite has a number of features. The Creator Rewards Program is one of them. So the Creator Rewards Program is the third iteration of what the Creator Fund was. So actually now the feature or the product is actually the Creator Rewards Program.
So how does that work?
So basically how it works is it rewards creators who are creating high quality content. Mm-hmm. It rewards creators who are creating longer form content, so content that is longer than a minute. And then it rewards those creators based on how users engage with that content.
Okay.
So if your content does well, you will get rewarded based on how your content performs. Of course, you need to make sure that your content is not breaching any copyrights. And you need to make sure that you are adhering to community guidelines. So that is the Creator Rewards Program, which is currently available in 7 markets across the globe. So it is not that it's only South Africa that has been excluded. It is just that it is rolled out in 7 markets. It's also a relatively new product.
Okay.
And generally the way that we do things at TikTok is we don't roll out at scale. Firstly, the platform was born in 2018. So we're still new. We're still innovating. We're still learning. We're still understanding. And so with that comes the environment where we'll test products.
Mm-hmm.
And we won't test products at scale.
Gotcha.
We'll test them with a select few markets first. And then that is only if we find that the product is working well, if it's successful, if there are no kind of like complaints or bugs, then that product will scale. I think a very good example is the STEM feed, which launched in the US some time ago, mm-hmm. which only launched in South Africa about 2 months ago. So that's a very good example of a product that launched in a select few markets and then was scaled because the business felt that it was ready to be scaled. So that is really what we are with the Creator Rewards Program. It is not that there was a list and South Africa was scratched out or Sub-Saharan Africa was scratched out. That's not the case at all. It was just that it's a product we want to test. Where can we test it best first to understand how it's going to work, so that we can optimize to understand if we can scale further.
Got you.
So that's one feature.
Yes.
Then we have all the other features that help creators monetize on the platform as well.
There's 5 we've of got them, right?
Yeah, so we've got live gifting. So essentially what that is the viewer can gift the live creator and then the live creator can cash those gifts out. We've got video gifting. Similar concept, but it's you're gifting the video versus gifting live content. We've got subscription, which was formerly known as series, but it's now called subscription because the focus is around building community. So you can put content behind a paywall. You can create specific experiences for your community, and they pay a subscription fee in order to get access to that. We have effects creator rewards. So those are for creators who create effects, and they're rewarded based on how many views their effects generate. And then lastly, we've also got work with artists, which is beneficial for 2 types of people. It's beneficial for the artist who wants to promote their music, and then it's beneficial for the creator who jumps on that sound, creates a song. Depending on the performance of the video, they will be compensated for that video. And then more recently, we've launched one called Live Reads, which allows you to connect with businesses, to give recommendations to businesses. All of these tools allow creators to monetize. So we've had to be innovative about how we are rewarding creators. And that's what's available on the app. And then of course we have TikTok partnerships, and then we also have brand partnerships. So we facilitate partnerships with brands.
Got you. And I think that's important because all of these different revenue streams obviously have their own models, which then speaks to the kind of income that you can generate. So if you are looking to work with brands, I'm assuming the brands have a budget. They work with you as TikTok to identify the talent. And then a particular rate card might be formed, or there's a general fee to say, for this kind of post, this is how much we're paying you. And the reason why I'm asking the question this way is because many of us do sit and wonder, well, how much can you make? Do you make? How do you structure the pricing? Because this is really a new business model that's never existed. And for individuals who are creative entrepreneurs, sometimes the waters can get very muddied and complex and confusing.
Yes. So I think it's like any other endeavor that you take. So when you're starting out, you're figuring things out and you're learning. So what we generally see is if you're a new creator, you are kind of still trying to understand how much you're charging for your content, etc. The more creators become successful, the more brands they work with, the more creators are sure about what their rate card looks like. We don't set the creators' rate cards. Oh. The creators themselves are the ones who say, this is how much I get paid.
Okay.
So if the it depends on if the brand is good to go, the brand is good to go with them. And if the brand is not good to go, we would make other recommendations if they, for example, cannot afford the creator at the rate that the creator has charged. So that's really how it works. I think there's kind of like a tier there. So they're the creators who are a lot more experienced. And then there are the creators who are figuring this thing out.
Mm.
And we help them where we can. Some do come to us and say, what should I charge, etc. So it's really actually between the brand and the creator, but we facilitate those relationships because the brands come to us a lot of the time.
Got you. I think that's so important because, as you say, it's a partnership and it's one that evolves and also speaks to various tiers. Something that many, I guess, South African influencers also would like to get clarity on in terms of the ecosystem is how we compare in terms of reach, power, influence in comparison to our global peers. And I know this might be nuanced, right? Because you can't speak to everyone around the world with the same messaging. And perhaps that's the benefit of having a video entertainment platform like TikTok is that you can become, I'm doing it with my hands, but hyper-local and really zone into a particular niche market, right? But in terms of the comparisons around reach, how do we fare, not just as South Africa, but Southern Africa?
It's the same. The algorithm is the same. And the best example I can use for this is, I think we've seen a lot of Amapiano sounds go viral on TikTok. We had Tswalabam last year.
Yes.
We had Jerusalema. I mentioned water. We had Ameno Amapiano from Nigeria by Goya Meno. We had CK's Love Non Titi. All of those tracks started in sub-Saharan Africa or Africa, and they went viral globally.
Mm.
So that speaks to the fact that there are no limitations for creators in Africa. I think another example I'd like to use is Charity Kezi. She is a creator from Nigeria. She basically dispels myths about Africa. So she'll make jokes and she'll be like, oh, I'm standing at a tree because today the giraffes didn't come to give us light or whatever. She's, if you look at her comment section, she's got creators or she's got people that are engaging with her from all over the world. We even have some creators that have, Sachi Himes is a good example of this, who have more following in global markets than they do in local markets because the type of content they create is a lot more popular in other markets. So yes, you do have the creators who niche down, and I think they're happy with that because, you know, that's the audience that they want to speak to. But if they were to say, I want to reach a different type of audience or I want to reach a global audience, there would be no barriers to them being able to reach that audience.
100%. I'm actually on Charity's page now, and some of the top videos are her standing in front of a power station and power line. And it's like, oh, we don't have electricity in Africa. She's standing next to an air conditioner, and she's like, oh, no, we don't have air conditioning in Africa. But you're right. There's this beautiful way in which the content is created, curated, and delivered, and the impact it has on the audience in terms of interaction. If you've just joined us, it's 26 minutes after 7 o'clock. We are having a phenomenal conversation with Bonniswa Sitwaba, Head of Content Operations for Sub-Saharan Africa at TikTok, helping us understand the business side and the state of the creative economy when it comes to TikTok. Not a social media platform, rather a video entertainment platform is how Bonniswa has described it. And truth is, that is what we're looking for, whether it's engagement on entertainment, dance, music, which has certainly come up top of the list, but also one thing that I guess speaks close to home for me, business and politics. And Bonniswa, maybe that's also something we can touch on and just reflect on very briefly is the growing industries or ways within which TikTok is being used to influence news sharing. I know it's often come up. If we take a look at the elections, conversations around the GNU, there were many content creators who were helping us distill and decipher the budget speech, the elections, how to vote, and the registration and the outcomes that we've seen there too. Is this a growing space? And maybe you can help us, you know, unpack this a little further, because it does lead to interesting debates and conversations around the authenticity of the data and information that's shared, and even the credibility of the content creator themselves with the content and information that they're disseminating.
Yes, I would definitely say that we do have a substantial amount of creators that comment on, you know, current affairs, or creators that keep us up to date on, you know, topical matters. And that is why we have fact-checking partners that work with us to make sure that, you know, the information or video content that's shared on the platform is fact-checked. You made an example of the election. So usually for moments like that, because we know that there will be a buzz around the moment, we know that there will be a lot of content around the moment, we usually partner with the IEC. So in this case, we partnered with the IEC in South Africa. We had an elections hub to make sure that the information that users are getting is verified information, not coming from us, but coming from the IEC. Mm-hmm. So when you typed in a specific search words, you'd find that hub to make sure that you're getting that information specifically. So those are some of the ways in which we kind of, you know, counteract potential misinformation on the platform.
Got you. I think that's so important, because that's an aspect that a lot of people might not even be aware of in terms of that particular reach. I'm also keen, you know, as we expand on this conversation, there's so much I want us to tap into, but perhaps shifting now into some of the user dynamics. I was in conversation with a leader of one of the banks today, earlier in the week, and they were actually commenting on how a lot more South Africans are using video entertainment platforms like TikTok for information, and even understanding products, tools, investments, and many other themes. And I'm keen to understand, what do the stats reveal about how much time we're spending on TikTok, the kind of information we're looking for, the demographics that you speak to? My mom is in her 60s. Girl, she watches TikTok.
Yes. So maybe she's 70 plus.
Wow. Bonisa, what are our moms doing? But anyway, they're finding the right content, right? So maybe this gives us just a quick snapshot, if you can tell us, you know, who the TikTok user is, how long we're on there for, and what we're looking for.
Yes, so we are seeing millennials and Gen Zs on the platform. I think we definitely have a larger group of young people on the platform, but we've got a significant amount of let's say people that are 35 plus and even 45 plus on the platform. And I think it's because of the verticals or the types of contents that are available on the platform. So for example, a hashtag like hashtag mom talk, which is specifically for moms. I know obviously, you know, the age range of moms ranges, but that's one hashtag, for example, that would appeal to most communities.
Gotcha.
Gardening is also a popular category that we see where older users are engaging with that. Family content, we're actually seeing a lot of family content. There are a number of family influencers on the platform. So one that I could mention from Cape Town are the Zolas. And so there you see the dynamic. You see the Gen Zs, and then you see the millennials. And I think in those kinds of settings, I think that that's a representation of the people that are on the platform as well. Mm. I also want to use another example, Uncle Don, who is a South African creator who basically would walk to work, would dance. And then what happened is a producer from Canada found his content, and they basically reached out to him, and they included him in the music video, which is a collaboration with Drake. So
oh, wow.
he literally, so the music video is about his story. So the reason I mentioned Uncle Don is because he's older and he's creating on the platform.
Yes.
I'll use a global example. There's a creator.
The guy who doesn't talk. The silent guy who became a model. I've forgotten where he's from now. No.
So the example I wanted to use was it's like their pensioners in an old age home.
Yeah.
And they're on the platform, and they're coming to, you know, do their thing on the platform. So I would say we've got a fair distribution of users on the platform. We definitely would want to convince more users that are older than 35 and 45 that there is a place for you on TikTok. And so that is why you would see the evolution of the content on the platform as well, just to make sure that people understand that there is useful content on the platform. There is something for everyone on the platform.
I think I've been missing out on Uncle Don. I'm on his page now as well. His traditional yellow shirt from work and the dance moves.
Yes.
He's flexible. Yay.
Yes.
He's got moves. To also get some clarity, I guess many other concerns that we also want clarity on is how TikTok also evaluates or verifies the authenticity of many of the content creators. And at top of mind, Dr. Matthew Lani comes to mind, who wasn't actually registered as a medical doctor or medical professional in South Africa, but was actually also selling products and brands there. Is that another area that I guess you're focusing on? And help us understand what that looks like in terms of the responsibility of the content creator to remain independent, but also making sure that people follow through with regulatory engagement.
Yes, so we have quite a robust team, our trust and safety team that focus on this. We have moderators across the globe that are working on moderating the content on the platform. And we've got tools that allow the user to basically equip themselves to protect themselves on the platform. So the first one that I'll begin with are the community guidelines. If you're a creator or someone that comes to the platform, I strongly advise reading the community guidelines or at least familiarizing yourself with the community guidelines. Then we have safety features that, so for example, if you see a video that makes you feel uncomfortable, you can long press and you can report that video.
Mm-hmm.
So our role here is to make sure that we have the tools in place. Our role is to make sure that we're educating, but equally we're asking the community to work with us as well and to help us detect some of these cases. So that is why we have features like reporting. And when those cases are reported, our machines also learn better because, as you know, content evolves daily. What content was yesterday is not going to be what content is today. So the work of the trust and safety team doesn't stop because the types of challenges that arise with content creation evolve as the day goes. So we've definitely got the tools in place to ensure that we're moderating content, but a large part of why we have the tools in place is because we need the community to help us use the tools as
yes.
well. So like the reporting feature. So if you can see that there is an account that is impersonating someone,
me.
Report the account.
I'm so glad you mentioned that because I was about
Email me.
Boniso, my team is going to reach out because there are several fake accounts in my name and they typically try to solicit money from individuals. And this is a challenge that we've had for a while. But I think also important, as you've mentioned, that the community also understands that there are ways of actually identifying if this is an authentic account. But we also need to actually press hold and make sure that people aren't engaging with these fake accounts as well as impersonations. So you'll be hearing from me soon. There are many
problem.
Fake kukulettos out
to
there.
Help.
This has been such an insightful conversation. Thank you so much for your time and more so, you know, giving us an opportunity just to fully understand TikTok's positioning, not only in South Africa, but across sub-Saharan Africa as well. And also, I just guess the, you know, competitive nature of the work that we're also doing.
Thank you so much. And thank you for the lovely conversation. And would love to, if you have any more questions, would love to have an offline discussion. Happy to unpack any other questions that you have.
100%.
Thank you so much.
First thing we'll do is get rid of the fake accounts.
Yes, please do reach out. We'll definitely be able to support with that.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Boniso. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
Likewise. That's my guest tonight, Head of Content Operations for Sub-Saharan Africa at TikTok, Boniswa Sidwaba, joining us to help us understand the monetization strategies that exist. And of course, just how content is shifting and evolving, especially when it comes to Sub-Saharan Africa and South Africa specifically. My own little disclaimer, any TikTok account you find with my name on it, it's not mine. Same thing with Facebook. It's not mine. It's fake. They literally go to my Instagram, solicit pictures from there. Other pages like the Kai959, which is an authentic page, and then post fake pages there. So you know me by now, guys. I'd never ask you for your money and promise you significant investment accounts. Mudiberi's just showed me his search. How many accounts are there under Kukulete Mfupi? Let's count. Oh, my goodness. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. I walk, guys. 23, 24, 25, 25. Most of them with my genuine images, but of course images that you can get from the internet. Don't follow any of them. It's not me. It's not me. Bonisa is going to help us with this one.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.